I'm Mike Breen, Public Awareness Officer for the American Mathematical Society, and I'm talking with Edrey Goins, who's from Pomona College and is giving an MAA invited address, A Dream Deferred, 50 Years of Blacks in Mathematics. And that'll be the second day of the meeting, Thursday, January 17th, in the morning from 9 to 9:50 in Ballrooms 1 and 2, the invited address rooms on the 400 level at the Convention Center. Edrey, thanks for talking to me today. Can you give people a little bit of an overview of your address?
Hi. Well, the address really is supposed to tie in with the National Association of Mathematicians celebration of its 50th anniversary. The organization was founded back in January 1969. So really, this is to help to kick off that whole year-long commemoration. I'm actually the president of NAM itself. What I'm going to try to do here in this talk is really just talk a little bit about what Blacks in mathematics have gone through over the last 50 years, what they've done research-wise, and just try to put everything in perspective of why really 50 years has really meant a whole lot to NAM itself. I'll try to start off the talk by putting it all in perspective by saying that really the year before, 1968, was a very tumultuous year in the history of the United States. So things like Martin Luther King was assassinated. There was the Olympics in Mexico where Tommy Smith raised his hand. It's kind of this idea of Black solidarity across all of the different countries, but eventually lost his gold medal because of what he did. And so I think that because of all of this turmoil that happened in 1968, by the time 1969 rolled around, there was really a feeling of it's a real time for change. Something needs to happen differently. There were different Black mathematicians who had attempted to come to the joint mathematics meetings over the years, but they had issues with, say, either not being allowed into the hotels, not being allowed into the convention centers, having a really hard time traveling there to the meetings, and just finally being fed up with all of this, saying that something really needs to change. So really, they got together in New Orleans in 1969, saying that we're finally going to put this organization together where we really want to make sure that the American Mathematical Society more generally, but the Joint Mathematics Meetings in particular, is finally going to be welcome to all underserved communities. And I'll say that even though I'm not going to focus on this in any detail in my talk, actually the Association for Women in Mathematics is a direct consequence of this meeting that happened back in 1969. You know, people got together, they realized that some things should change. Eventually, the American Mathematical Society realized that it should step in and do something. So they formed a committee to kind of help work with NAM to do things. And they eventually realized that the needs of underrepresented American minorities is slightly different from women. And so it might make more sense to kind of have the two separate organizations to be founded. And so that's where AWM came about. Luckily, even these days, AWM and NAM work together very closely. So you mentioned earlier that I'm here at Pomona College, actually the current president of AWM, Amy Radinskaya. She's also here at Pomona College. So she and I talk all the time about different activities that we can do together. But I do want to say that even though I do want to talk about the history of all of this and these things coming about and happening over the last 50 years, I definitely want to spend some time discussing the mathematics that's happened over the last 50 years. And there's really been a lot of interesting things that have come about. So a couple of people that I'll talk about. One is a woman by the name of Kate Okeke-Olu. So she was a professor at the University of California at San Diego, and then she left and went to Johns Hopkins University for a while. She actually works on this idea of, can you hear the shape of a drum? You know, this work of Mark Katz and others from over the years. This sort of concept of, if you have a shape, something like a drum, and if you kind of strike it and take a listen to what happens, in some sense, you're kind of measuring the eigenvalues from this thing. Is it enough to say that if you know something about the vibrations that you hear, or that is, if you know something about the eigenvalues that are occurring from a certain operator, is that enough to actually recover the shape of this object? And of course, eventually you realize that the answer is no, that you really cannot hear the shape of the drum. But Kate Okeke-Olu actually does work in this area, and she was one of the first African Americans to receive several awards for the work that she had done, one of them being this very prestigious Sloan Fellowship. Another person I want to talk about is actually another good friend of mine named Arlie Petters. So he's currently a professor of mathematics at Duke, but he's really fascinating. He actually has three positions. He's actually in mathematics, physics, and economics, and currently he's the dean of students at Duke. but he's actually done work in gravitational lensing. So it's really this idea of gravity, even though it acts like it's something that kind of holds the fabric of the universe together, really is something that bends the fabric of the universe. And as light travels along, it doesn't really travel along kind of an empty vacuum, but it travels along this weird curved path that's completely influenced by gravity. And so you can really ask the question, if light itself is being bent by gravity, well then, can you kind of use gravity as almost like a lens, as something that kind of focuses light in some weird ways, or maybe bends the light so that it's going to be unfocused? And so Arleigh actually uses the different images that you'll see as kind of the reflections from this light as a way of determining what's the gravity, what's the object that's actually causing this bending. You can imagine if I have something very massive in front of me, like say a Jupiter, then if the light travels past Jupiter, it might be bent and kind of curved around. And so what I want to know is, if I'm kind of on the other side looking at the image, can I determine the mass of something like Jupiter? And of course, you do this in a much larger scale, things like suns and black holes and what have you. So I do want to spend some time in this talk going over the mathematics that has occurred over the last 50 years or so. So that's just a couple of people that I'll mention.
So you mentioned being president of NAM, and that seems to me like it would take a lot of time. How do you manage to keep everything going?
Very carefully. Really, a lot of this is just time management, just kind of learning how to balance everything here or there. But I really feel that in some sense, you know, you have to find the time to do something as important as this. There aren't a lot of Black mathematicians that are out there. I want to say that it's probably maybe 8,000 or so PhDs that are given out every year in the United States in mathematics, and only perhaps about 50, 60 or so actually go to Black mathematicians. So it's a very small number of Blacks that get PhDs every year. But out of that, really, there should be a way that we not only have visibility that we're there, meaning that we should be invited to give talks, that we should feel welcome coming to these conferences, but there certainly are other issues that we have to worry about, you know, making sure that we actually do have a sense of community, that we are reaching back to make sure that undergraduates are being encouraged to go on to get their advanced degrees in mathematics. And that's really what NAM does. You know, it's not only the different conferences and events that we run every year, but it's also about the advocacy that we have for Black mathematicians. So the different communities that we're on, things that we do in terms of consulting with organizations such as AMS and MAA and AWM. So I just feel that I have to find the time to do it because it's such an important thing to do. But I really do enjoy it. You know, I enjoy meeting various people out there, talking to different Black mathematicians about what they're doing, what they're working on research-wise, how they're handling things in the classroom. So it's a labor, but it is a labor of love.
Well, that's good. Edry, is there anything you'd like to add? It just occurred to me, are you optimistic about the future?
I am. I definitely see a big change in what's happened over the last, not just 50 years, but I'll say over the last 100 years. One thing I'll recommend for people to do is to go to a website called The History Makers. I believe it's thehistorymakers.com. And you'll want to look up a video interview for arguably the most renowned Black mathematician, David Blackwell. He was at UC Berkeley for many years, but actually before that, he was at an HBCU. He was at Howard University. And he's well known for a famous theorem called the Blackwell Rao theorem, which I won't go to for the moment. But I'm bringing this up to say that probably in the 1950s or so, right about the time he was at Howard, he was looking to get a position, but at the time he was finding it really difficult to get a position anyway. Actually, it just proved the Blackwell-Rao theorem, so he was starting to get some recognition out there. At the time, just a few years before, he had graduated with his PhD and could not get a job anywhere. The word colored was written across his transcripts, and really nobody wanted to hire him, but he was very lucky that he was able to go to, at the time, what was called the Black Mecca, going to Howard University, really the best place in the country, really, for anyone Black to go to. But he was looking to move to go to a different place, so he had applied to UC Berkeley. And actually, he did not get the position at Berkeley at first. So I want to pique the listener's interest by saying that there is a very interesting story of why he did not get his position at Berkeley at first. And I think it's worth it to go to the History Makers to see David Blackwell explained in his own words how all of that transpired. But what I'll say is that after listening to Blackwell's story about how things happen, I'm very optimistic that things did change after that. You know, he did eventually get a job at Berkeley, that we definitely do have more people getting their degrees now. So I'm hopeful that things will be better in the future. I'm still a little bit cautiously optimistic about things, but I am certainly hopeful that the numbers will increase and that we'll certainly have a lot more fascinating mathematics coming from Black mathematicians in the years to come.
Now I asked you two questions at once, sorry. So I should now say, do you have anything you'd like to add, or was that enough there?
I think the only thing that I would add is, please come to the NAM booth. It'll be there in the exhibition hall. If you want to learn more about Black mathematicians, from expanding upon what I had to say in my talk, please come to the booth. We'll have plenty of information there. And we'll also be able to tell you more about NAM and what NAM is doing.
And you're also organizing a session, right?
Right. We're actually organizing a lot of sessions. Let me see. This Thursday of the joint meetings, we have a day-long session, really from 8 in the morning to 5 in the evening, that will be on what we're calling the mathematics of the Mid-Atlantic HBCUs. But really, we're just inviting, or we have invited, faculty from the HBCUs roughly in the area to come out and talk about three different things. So in the morning, we have folks coming out to talk about the research. In the late morning, we have what we're going to call emerging scholars. So these are younger mathematicians that have only been out for maybe about 5 years or so to talk about the work that they're doing. And then that afternoon in the session, we're going to have a historical perspective. So for people to talk about what's really happened with Black mathematicians over the years. So like, for example, the influence that Howard University has had in terms of how many people have gotten their PhDs, and Elbert Cox kind of being one of the first people there in the department, and David Blackwell, and he has influence on the department. Katherine Johnson and what's happened there with Hidden Figures and other people in the space program. So that's Thursday. There's definitely a lot that's going to happen there. Friday morning will be a session that will be the companion session to the talk that I'm giving. So we're going to have various people to come out to talk about also the different things that have happened with Blacks in mathematics over the years. So, for example, one person is going to talk about this thing called CARMS. It's the Conference for African American Researchers in the Mathematical Sciences. So he'll talk about how CARMS has had a big influence on mathematicians over the last 50 years. And then NAM will have its other standard events throughout the rest of the conference. So we have our new PhD session, the Hayes-Granville-Brown session of new recipients in the mathematical sciences. We'll have our banquet later on that Friday evening. Talithia Williams is going to give our keynote banquet address. That Saturday morning, we'll have a panel discussion where people are going to talk about what should happen in the next 50 years of NAM. So Dwayne Cooper at Morehouse College will be the moderator there. And then later on that afternoon, we'll finish things off with a research talk. Hennick Maui, Howard University, will give a talk. So quite a lot of events we have planned out for the joint meetings this year.
Yes, it sounds that way. Well, Edrey, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to me. I know you're busy. And so Edrey was talking about the invited address, the MAA invited address he's giving, A Dream Deferred, 50 Years of Blacks in Mathematics. That's Thursday morning from 9 to 9:50, the second day of the meeting, on the 400 level in the invited address rooms at the Baltimore Convention Center, and then talking about sessions and other things going on connected with the National Association of Mathematicians. And Edrey is president. And is your term up next year, or?
I'll say two more years.
Two,
I think we're going to have elections in 2020. So we have a new president by 2021.
Okay. So, Edrey, again, thanks very much, and see you in January.
Okay. Thank you.